Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's Mail It In Friday.
I called in sick. I don't work in the rain.
Well, I kind of mailed that in.
You can't deliver mail?
Why not?
Yeah, whatever.
I guess you're right. It's just walking around putting it in the boxes.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, Gord Miller in studio.
So tell me why Tom Cruise is not the hardest working man in show business when he does his own stunts for...
Because I'm not convinced he actually does his own stunts. I don't think anybody's actually corroborated that rumor.
What?
It's just out there, which is a genius move by Tom Cruise. But I think he came up with this idea years ago, probably when shooting Top Gun or something, and just started telling people. Or he just wouldn't correct people when they'd say, hey, do you do your own stunts? Or I heard you do your own stunts. I think it's just a rumor that's gone wild, and no one's ever actually backed it up. So I think it's fake news that he does his own stunts, but... it benefits him greatly because everyone thinks that he does, and then he becomes this guy who's just almost mythical in nature. That's my theory.
Okay. You know, do you remember? Now I'm gonna venture into dangerous territory here. Do you remember the movie Cocoon?
Yes, I do remember Cocoon.
Okay, Wilford Brimley was in Cocoon. Remember, he played one of the seniors. If you don't know the movie, these aliens plant eggs in the ocean, and these seniors discover them, and they wind up going on a spaceship. You know.
It's a really weird movie.
Very weird movie. Wilford Brimley was 5 years younger than Tom Cruise is now when he starred in Cocoon. He was like 51.
But he looked like 95.
Yeah, yeah. But Tom Cruise is like 56 years old.
It's wild, isn't it? Like, the only guy who I think actually does his own stunts is Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan, I believe. Because at the end of all of his movies, they show outtakes of him doing his own stunts. I've never seen Cruise actually have an outtake out there of him doing his own stunts. But I will say this, I think Mission Impossible is one of the most underrated franchises in movie history. I love those Mission Impossible movies. And I think they keep getting better. Like, the first one was a classic, but that's 20 years ago. John Voight, and it's a great movie.
It is, yeah. No, it's, I mean...
Great franchise.
It is. Which is better, that or the Bourne?
I knew you were going to throw that at me because I love Bourne, too. But I think Bourne has slipped recently.
Bourne got kind of, like, it's the same movie.
Yes.
It's just the same movie in different locations.
It's like, when are you going to figure it out, dude?
Yeah, like, okay, like...
you were a spy.
No. When's the CIA going to figure out? Like, just, you know, like, just shoot the guy.
Get the guy. Please, find, like, don't hire one guy to go get him.
You ever see the old SNL? They had the James Bond villains on a talk show?
No, I don't think
so. What advice would you give to someone taking on James Bond? Oh yeah, man! Like, when you catch him, don't hang him over the pit. Just shoot him. Like,
yeah.
Don't hang him over the pit of sharks. Don't, you know? Like,
well, that's the Austin Powers spoof too, right?
Yeah. Never tell him your plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't tell him the plan.
Well, because they do that in Austin Powers, where Dr. Evil's son. What was his name in that? Scott, I think.
Yeah, Scott. Yeah.
Scott. Where, like, he's like, "What are you doing? Like, just shoot him."
Yeah, don't tell him.
Why are you making him sit above sharks?
By the way, who was Dr. Evil based on?
I'm assuming a Bond villain or something? I don't know.
An actual person. An actual person that he's based on.
I'm hearing people are saying Lorne Michaels?
Lorne Michaels.
Really?
Lorne Michaels talks, you know the pinky and the... Lorne Michaels talks that way.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Dr. Evil's speech pattern is based on Lorne Michaels.
Do you consider Lorne Michaels a famous Torontonian?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I think all of the Toronto has rubbed off. I don't even think of him as having any footprint in Toronto. Like, he's been in New York for so long.
Well, but you know what? He still wears his Order of... I actually saw him at Wimbledon. He still wears his Order of Canada pin. He comes here a lot.
Does he?
I don't know. No, he hasn't done things like... Has he? You know, is there the Lorne Michaels chair of, you know, film school at U of T? Or is there Ryerson doesn't have a... Is he a visiting professor? No, but I mean, I still think of him as very much a Canadian.
Really?
And a Toronto guy, yeah.
See, I don't think of him as that at all. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just... He hasn't shown up on my radar, but... And partially probably because he's behind the screen. He's not in front of the screen. He doesn't go on talk shows to talk about his life. But he's cracked or broke open into the industry through the CBC, I think it was.
Yeah,
and he did
a
lot of comedy shows and stuff like that. He was up here for a long time. He's from Toronto.
Yeah.
But
it's when you think,
I just think of him
when
as
you
Mr.
Think,
New
when
York
you think
now.
About it for Toronto, you know, Lorne Michaels, Mike Myers, John Candy, you know, most of the SCTV cast were from Toronto, right? Like Rick Moranis is Toronto. Too,
yes. Rick Moranis was a radio guy before he got into it. He used to work at like 6 CFTR.
Used to do the Jerry Todd show on SCTV. It's the Jerry Todd show.
Rick Moranis.
No, so I mean, but think about how like SCTV was genius. SCTV was absolute genius.
Well, Scorsese's doing something on SCTV for Netflix, I believe.
Yeah.
And I never really got... SCTV was before my time in terms of being at its height.
I was in Edmonton. Just graduated from high school when they were shooting it in Edmonton. And you'd see they shot ITV, like the local independent affiliate, funded it. And so they'd shoot it. Like John Candy and those guys were living in Edmonton and shooting it there.
Wow.
So all of a sudden you'd see like this SCTV shoot on a street downtown. But, but just think about all those guys from Toronto. Right, and you know, it's sort of the same era, right? Sort of, you know, graduate from high school, sort of late 70s, probably early 80s, and just comic genius.
Mm-hmm.
Candy was a force of nature, man.
Yep.
He really was. Like when he owned the Argos, we'd just be on the sidelines down. He was an absolute. We were at the Grey Cup one night. One of my favorite stories: the Grey Cup in Winnipeg in '91. Went to the Palomino Club on a Friday night in Winnipeg.
I've heard of that spot,
the Dirty Old Pal, and Candy walks in. And says, buy the house around. And the manager says, Mr. Candy, there's 500 people here. He said, then you better get going.
So he bought everybody around?
Bought the house around.
Good for him.
It is part of...
That's a legendary move.
It is part of one of the weirdest nights of my life as a TSN employee. Because I was in charge of taking some people out for dinner. I just started the company.
Like representing TSN,
Do we have time to tell the story? I guess we do.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Mark Bloomis, the late Mark Bloomis, who founded Mark's Work Warehouse. So I was in charge. We just renewed our CFL deal. Jim Thompson, the late Jim Thompson, the head of TSN, said, okay, you've got the Mark's Work Warehouse guys. Take them out. So I see him at noon on Friday. Guys, I'll meet you here in the bar at 6:30. We'll go to Highs at 7. See you there. I got delayed at practice. I get back at like 6:45. They're in the bar. I said, guys, go on to Highs. I'll see you there. I'll take care of your bar tab. They've been there since noon. Their bar tab was like $850. So I'm down $850. I've never done this before. I'm down $850 already. Go to the Highs. They've met three guys on the way and invited them to dinner. So now it's dinner for 7. Okay. So like we're, you know, having dinner. They're ordering wine. I'm like, oh my God, like this is getting out of control here. So now Candy and McNaller nearby table says, hey, we're going to the Palomino Club. Do you want to come? I'm like, yeah, I'll see you there. So I said to, you know, Bloomis and these guys, hey guys, great night. See you later. Like, no, we're coming to the Palomino with you. I'm like, oh, not sure that invitation was to you, but so off we go.
You had to take him now.
Get him in. So now Candy does this thing, right? So an hour later, McNall says, I'll buy the house around, right? So the DJ's like, ladies and gentlemen, Bruce McNall has bought the house around. Woo! Place goes nuts, right? An hour later, it's like, whose turn is it now? And Mark Bloomis says, Gord, your turn. And the DJ, ladies and gentlemen, Gord Miller from TSN is buying the house around. Woo! I'm
like, no way.
Oh, my God. So the next...
There's no way you did that.
I did.
You bought 500 people around.
I did.
Gord.
I had no choice.
Yes, you had a choice.
What choice did I have?
Run like the wind.
You're in a bar. Candy and McNall have already bought around.
I hate to break it to you. You're not Candy and McNall.
But
you're Miller.
I know, but the problem is I got the TSN. It's not a TSN credit card. It's my credit card.
Right, but you're TSN's planning on expenses.
TSN's going to pay me back. So now
even for those rounds, did they pay for the rounds? Did TSN pay for the rounds?
The round up.
That's what I mean. Like yeah, so 500 people got drinks courtesy of TSN that night.
So the next day at lunch, I'm just crushed, right? Now there I may have been slightly hammered when I agreed to do this. So now, the next day at lunch, Jim Thompson goes, Gord, I saw the Mark's Workhouse guys. They loved you, man. Like, great dinner. You took them out. Like, good for you, man. And I looked at him and said, Jim, the bill's $9,600.
Wow.
He said, what? And I told him the story. He says, okay, we're not doing that again, but good job.
Great work.
Yeah.
I hope Mark's Work Warehouse pumped a lot of money into the company going forward.
$9,600. The bar tab.
Well, 500 people, you got to think a few bucks a drink. I mean, back in the early 90s, maybe a grand, You know, was it more than that? What kind of shots are we talking about?
It was more than that.
Anyone can get anything they want?
The drink tab alone was like $3,000 with tip.
So you're talking like $6 drinks.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, well, no.
Well, that's where I would have stepped in and been like, listen, drinks for everybody, but what's the cheapest beer you have? Make her a Laker for everybody.
No, but dinner was crazy. Like, dinner was like, they had like this.
Even in the Peg.
What's that supposed to mean?
That's a disparaging comment about Winnipeg.
What does that mean?
That's what it's supposed to mean.
It was Heise. Like, Heise is an expensive restaurant.
It's supposed to mean exactly what you think it's supposed to mean. Well, Heise is in Toronto.
Yeah.
There's a Heise down on, is it Wellington? I don't know where Heise is.
So that was a debacle.
Okay.
One of my many, there was one time over in Sweden at the World Championship. So we'd eat cheap and then go to a place called Cafe Opera, which is one of the great nightclubs in the world. Unbelievable spot. And so a bunch of NHL people would come with us and we'd pay for the bar tab and say it was dinner. You know, no big deal, right?
Yeah.
Because you just put the...
No one knows.
Yeah. So, but the woman who did our expenses at the time went on a cruise with her husband through Scandinavia and said, since you ate at Cafe Opera every night, my husband and I thought we'd go check it out. She said, that's an interesting restaurant you went to, Gord. They don't serve food there. Yeah,
quite the club. It opens at 10 p.m. Yeah,
they don't serve food there at that restaurant you invoiced us for.
Yeah, that could burn you in the end.
Yeah.
We should get into this Kyle Lowry stuff. I guess he's down at the USA camp.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. Like, you knew Kyle was going to take the DeMar trade poorly. Now, I don't blame him for being disappointed because DeMar DeRozan's his best friend by all accounts.
Yeah,
and they're
sure.
very close. And DeRozan's choked up about being traded. And you know by extension Lowry's going to be disappointed too.
Yeah.
But he's down at the USA camp. And he finally spoke with the media. And he came out and he's like, I'm not talking about anything that's unrelated to USA basketball. It's Kyle Lowry. Do you think that ESPN and Fox Sports 1 and SI and CBS are all lined up to talk to him? No. It's TSN, Sportsnet, The Star, The Sun. It's all people from Toronto that want to talk to him. And none of them care about USA basketball.
Why else are they at the USA basketball
game? Exactly. None of them are down there to talk about his role with USA basketball. Everyone's down there because they want to know the reaction to the trade that happened last week. And Lowry hasn't said anything. He doesn't have to say anything in terms of Instagram.
Neither is Kawhi, for the record.
Well, and Kawhi has proven that. And he's going to take that to the bank and run with it. But Lowry just had an exchange, and the audio isn't very good, so we can't really play it. But this is the gist of it. Do you have a relationship with Kawhi? Lowry said, no. Have you spoken to him? Lowry said, I don't know.
Wait.
Exactly.
So he was asked, have you spoken to him?
He answered, I don't know. The obvious follow-up would be, you don't know if you've spoken to him? Which is, to their credit, what they asked him. He said, no. What do you mean, Kyle? Lowry responded, I don't know if I've spoken to him. Like, this went on like an Abbott and Costello bit. So he's just being so petulant, this is so stupid. Like, and this is why it's going to be a complicated story. Because
for sure.
Kawhi Leonard is now a member of the Raptors, whether Kyle Lowry likes it or not. And Kyle Lowry makes $30 million a year to make sure that the Raptors win games and to give the best effort possible. And I understand that his body is gone. I get that. And if you went to Lowry this time last week or right after the trade and he was too emotional to speak or he said, leave me alone, I get that. We're 9 days removed. You're Kyle Lowry. This has been your team for 5 years plus. You and Kawhi Leonard have got to mix well. You two are the primary pieces on this team with expectations of making it to an NBA Finals for the first time in franchise history. Now, I don't know what the relationship's going to be like come September when they're in town for training camp, but this kind of garbage is so stupid. It would have been so easy for Lowry to just be like, hey, guys, couple of quick words. I'm going to miss DeMar. I love DeMar. I don't really know Kawhi. I can't give you any answers on him. He's a great player. Look forward to seeing what's going on. Don't ask me anything else.
Right.
But why be like, no, don't know. I don't know if I've spoken to him. Like, it's just so stupid.
And then we're going to have Josh Lindberg on later to talk about, because he did the interview with DeRozan.
Yes, and he would have been there with Kyle, I'm sure, this afternoon.
I'm getting to the point, like, I really like DeMar DeRozan. I do. I think he was a really good player in Toronto, and I think he was a great ambassador for the city. And I think he embraced, you saw his comments the other day about how much he loved Canada and loved Toronto. He's not the first athlete to be traded from a place he liked. It happens a lot. Like, enough already.
Well, he's really got a hatred for Masai Ujiri.
Boy, he's making no bones about that. He's not hiding the fact.
He loathes him.
There won't be a DeMar DeRozan return to Toronto as long as Masai Ujiri is here.
Well, that I was thinking about that earlier today, because he's only going to be here once, because he's in the West.
Yeah.
Masai, I don't think Masai Ujiri is comfortable with being the bad guy. I don't get the impression like he's comfortable in this role. But we're going to say the same thing about the players. We're going to say it about the executive. Suck it up. That's the job.
Right.
You know, you could tell he was uncomfortable after firing Dwayne Casey.
Oh,
it was one of the most uncomfortable interviews I've ever done, interviewing him, trying to get answers out of him.
And I think that's, you know, the general manager and the coach have a real personal relationship, and they spend a lot of time together, and they bleed together for these things. And I could see that. And then,
and the same thing with the star players, right?
Yeah, like, for sure.
He knows that DeRozan's been important here. And it's going to be awkward because eventually the dust will settle. Eventually it will. But in reality, as long as Masai is here, he will have the final say on how DeRozan is celebrated when he rolls through town. What the plans are for DeRozan's big night in Toronto when San Antonio rolls through. Now, DeMar may not care. He may not care. He may not be waiting for a video montage. But I think Masai Ujiri's got to be careful when it comes to that. He can't look petty here DeRozan because DeRozan's been mean to him now in the media.
You're right. And I guess the thing I'm saying is, you know, when DeRozan's contract comes up, sometimes a team will sign a guy, you know, bring a guy back, you know, at the end of his career for whatever reason. I don't think that's going to happen here as long as, like, part of me says, you know what, DeRozan was invested. Like he was invested in the city. He's really crushed. Like he's not a guy. He wasn't a carpetbagger who came here, lived in a condo, you know, two blocks from the rink or the arena, and never saw the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
no, he embraced it and he became a part of
it. And so it obviously hurt him. But at the same time, okay, it's been a week. Like, no one died here. Like, if you like Toronto so much, live here in the summer.
Well, and on the flip side, from the Spurs' perspective, you got to think down in San Antonio.
Yeah,
like, when are you going to open up to what we're all about?
How about saying, "Hey, I'm excited to be a San Antonio Spur.
Yes,
and got a chance to win a championship here. Maybe. I mean,
because at least Kawhi Leonard is not talking about the Spurs. He's just not talking. Period. Like he doesn't talk about anything.
Which would
make it a lot more difficult. Because there's a lot of people in the city that are concerned that this is going to blow up in the Raptors' face because Kawhi doesn't want to be here. And you could add credence to that take if Kawhi spent the past week complaining about leaving San Antonio.
So to summarize, DeMar DeRozan is talking too much and Kawhi Leonard is talking too little.
For some people.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't have a problem with DeRozan. I really don't. I don't have an issue with him. I got an issue with Lowry acting this way. I think, you know, there are people texting and tweeting in saying, well, he doesn't have any obligation. Of course he doesn't have any obligation.
No, he doesn't.
But he's a spokesman for the team. They pay him a lot of money.
Right.
And Kawhi is now his teammate.
And by the way, you are a role model whether you want to be or not. I mean, he has no obligation to talk. You know what he can say? I'm not here to talk about the Raptors deal. I'm here for USA Basketball. I'll talk about that. But I don't know if I've talked to someone like that. Now you're just sticking your finger in people's eye.
Well, exactly. And like I said off the top, the guys that are down there asking him about stuff are TSN employees, Sportsnet employees, Toronto Star, Toronto Sun. It's not people from the States. So Lowry knows when he comes out what they're there to ask him about, and it would be so easy for him to get this out of the way because this isn't going to end the questioning.
Oh, it's good.
Now when he shows up in Toronto in September, it's like, okay, have you settled into what happened here? Because Kawhi's your teammate whether you like it or not, and DeRozan is not here anymore whether you like it or not. And this team needs Lowry. Like, as much as Kawhi becomes a special part of this, and maybe this is a part of the ripple effect, that Lowry always looked at DeRozan as an equal, or as a guy that maybe he was better than, there may be some jealousy there.
But also,
that Lowry's like, Kawhi's a better player, and everyone's pumping his tires, and I'm not going to add anything to that.
But to me, Lowry becomes even more important now.
Absolutely. They need him.
They have, like, it's not this two-headed monster anymore. Now, because we don't know what Leonard is going to be. Like, Kyle Lowry becomes now the focal point. He's the guy bringing the ball up the floor every time now.
And he has to make Kawhi feel welcome? Like,
well,
not to the not like a concierge, you know, not in an awkward way. You know, he can't try to be best buddies with them the second he gets here. But this is where it gets complicated for Masai. Because if Masai wants to keep Kawhi Leonard here long term, and of course he does, and of course he would want to,
right,
it's going to be a year's worth of courtship, and he needs everyone pulling in the same direction, and he needs Lowry to play a role in that. Now, maybe that'll happen, and hopefully it will. And I'm sure it will once they all get in the room and get on the plane and get on the bus and start playing together and develop a relationship. Nobody has a relationship with Kawhi Leonard because he doesn't talk to anybody. But the Raptors need Lowry to be a guy that can make Kawhi feel like this is the spot where he wants to stick around.
Because this is a chemistry experiment, and it's really hard to know how it's going to go when you have a guy who's as much of a wild card as Leonard is. We don't know how this is going to look. I mean, if you trade for Kevin Love, right, you know what you're getting. If you trade for Andrew Wiggins, you know what you're getting. You have no idea what you're getting here.
In terms of the injury-related
conversation. Injury to the biggest thing is injury.
Yeah.
The second part is interest. I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think he's going to want to play. I think he's always shown himself to be a professional. He'll play. But injury, pretty significant one, that was controversial in San Antonio. Who knows?
Yes.
Like, who knows? Like, this is, and we've talked about this, that's what makes this so interesting. Because it really is, you're going to open the box here and not know what you're getting.
And is he now more prone to shut himself down if something happens again?
Is he more prone? Like, if he's not feeling good, does he play through it because he's got a contract coming up? Or does he shut himself down to save himself? I got to think that a guy that played 9 games last year does not want to play 19 games this year, because who's really going to roll the dice?
Well, I said the same thing about Josh Donaldson coming into this year, and I know it's apples and oranges, different players.
No, you did, but...
But remember, Donaldson was coming off an injury-riddled season last year, and this year it was like, you got to play through, you got to prove people, and he's not playing through. Now, you can't play through something that is impossible to play through, but now Donaldson's reputation has taken such a hit.
But your point at the start of the year when I was on with you was you got to trade him now.
Well, absolutely. But
because you can't afford to go. I mean,
you can't afford to be in the position you're in right now, which is where the Blue Jays find themselves.
If Kawhi Leonard plays 19 games for the Raptors this year, is the DeRozan deal a disaster?
Depending on in the short term, at that moment, it will feel like it.
Yeah.
Depending on how they react going forward in terms of reloading, rebuilding, moving contracts around, then the jury will still be out.
Or Green shoots, you know, makes 23 pointers a night and
morphs into Steph Curry 2.0. Not holding my breath
on that. Well, he's a pretty good 3-point shooter.
Yeah, he's a great one, but I don't think he's Steph. I don't think he's going to be playing 38 minutes a night. Mitch Marner had an All-Star Invitational. It was a really cool event earlier this afternoon up in Vaughan, and we caught up with Austin Matthews and got into a number of things with him, including playing in smoke-infested arenas over in Europe. What's his contract situation like? Does he want to be a Leaf long-term? How does Tavares fit into the team, and how could he benefit from having Tavares on the team? That and more coming up. We will revisit our conversation with Austin Matthews next. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.
Can I tell you my favorite news story of the day? There's been a lot going on today. Donald Trump Jr. and Robert Mueller were at the airport at the same time in the same departure area today.
Really?
Photographed like 10 feet apart. That's not my favorite story of the day. Premier Ford changing the rules for the election, like the day that the nomination...
City Council in Toronto?
Yeah, that's not my favorite story. No. In London, Ontario, a man was arrested last night for breaking and entering. He tried to break and enter into a police station. So I always want to ask the question, like, so what's the upside to that? So say you were successful. Congratulations, you've broken into a police station. You are now surrounded by dozens of heavily armed police officers.
Here's what I need to know.
Yeah.
Because police stations are never closed.
Right, like you
how do you break into something that's open?
Well, I guess maybe try the back door, like you're trying to get in where the cars are.
I guess so, yeah. So like trespassing almost.
Yeah, like there was a story years ago, like 10 years ago, a guy on a flight who worked for Deutsche Bank was flying from New York to London, and they stopped serving him drinks. They cut him off. He got so mad, he crapped on the beverage cart. Okay, so here's, so here's my question, right? What's the upside to doing this?
Like, I don't have one for you.
You know what, sir? We've thought about it. You're right. Since you put it that way,
yep.
Have another drink.
Four-finger scotch for him.
In fact, here, have two.
Hook him up. The nice four-finger pour.
What do you think is the best possible? They arrested some guy, a school superintendent in the States today.
Yeah, I saw that.
He was pooping on a rival team's track every day.
Listen, man, if you're committed to the game and you're committed to a rivalry, I kind of support that passion.
Schools are covered in video, in closed-circuit cameras.
Yeah. Well, you hear about those stories all the time, though. People that are just doing their thing, like in city parks, and it's like a mystery.
This guy was doing it on purpose. Like they yeah, show the rivals. So now you've done it like 5 days in a row. So
you really have to hate.
So hang on.
A school.
So they've discovered for 4 days at least, they've discovered poop on the track.
Yes.
So what do you do? Watch the track and see who's pooping on it.
Eventually, that guy, if he's going to do it again, will show up. And you should be able to catch him. Hopefully not in the act.
But again, what was the best case scenario? What was your goal in performing this act?
Outside of I want to be arrested?
Yes.
There's really no proper answer there. There isn't one. We caught up with Austin Matthews earlier this afternoon. And it was cool being at this event. Mitch Marner, he put on a really cool event. Yeah. And I like that it wasn't the gratuitous golf tournament, which a lot of guys hold. And there's nothing wrong with a golf tournament. I love them. I've been to them a bunch of times. But this was hockey players on the ice with kids, with regular Joes, and you're out there doing skills competitions and practicing. And it would have been a really, really cool experience for anyone that was on the ice.
You should have put the
blades on. I was thinking about bringing them. Just skate out there and bomb around.
You
played
in the NHL, man. You're a player.
I wouldn't call myself a player anymore.
Well,
I'm not sure I ever was. I did play. Oh, I wouldn't look like a buffoon. I just haven't been on the ice in a couple of years. And ever since I had the knee surgery and stuff.
How would O be on the ice now?
I don't know.
When's the last time O was on the ice?
I think probably a handful of years. He has no interest in playing. Like, Ray says the same thing. Ray has no interest in ever skating again.
You know what? Ray and O were on the ice at the World Junior last year for the outdoor game. They did the thing before the game.
But they were both in suits, I think, too. Like, Tessa was out there.
Yeah.
I remember that.
O still had the hands.
Yeah. Like, he can shoot. Yeah. Like, he could shoot through a net if you gave him an opportunity.
Noodles?
Noodles is still in shape, though. I'll bet you Noodles could still play goal. I'll bet you he could. Wouldn't be, like, a spectacular showing necessarily, but he could do it. But we caught up with Matthews earlier, and I don't even know how we got onto this topic, the idea of people smoking in a rink. Okay. I think Noodles was talking about when he was playing in the WHL, all these old rinks. We're talking about old rinks around Toronto, and then Noodles was talking about his own experience when he was in the WHL. There was like chicken wire around the rink. It wasn't even glass, and people could smoke in the rink.
Yeah.
And as we were having that conversation, they brought Matthews over, and Matthews sat down, and I thought it was only appropriate to ask him what it would be like to play in smoke-infested arenas.
I honestly think I did when I was in Switzerland a couple of times.
That's right.
No, not even kidding you.
About in Switzerland.
Like two or three rinks, like you come back, like you said, like from intermission, it's like got people who are smoking cigarettes in there and you're just like, I can't breathe. It's insane.
That jersey smells like smoke. You're like, you're coughing up. Like, what is this?
I know. I've never been to a hockey game in Europe, so I wouldn't even think about that. But that's what throws you off. Like you go to certain bars around, you know, like in Quebec, I think you can smoke in bars. Down in the States.
You smoke anywhere in Quebec.
I was in Pittsburgh like 2 months ago. People are blowing darts all over the place. And it's a throwback. Is when you used to go to bars when you're younger and you could still smoke, you'd come home and it felt like you would smoke three packs.
Yeah.
So we had Riley join us around the table and we asked him, and we'll ask you, with Mitch Marner having this event, is he big-timing you because he's got this event and his name's on it? Is he barking orders at you to go fill up water bottles and stuff or what?
No, he knows better. But all you see is his face around everything, and it gets overwhelming because I see him so much during the year. But obviously, pretty good event so far. It's been fun. Last night was a good time, and I think everybody's enjoying it out there.
So are you spending most of your time now in Toronto, or are you just here for the event?
I was here skating for the week and then just stayed a couple extra days. Kaji's wedding tomorrow, this event the last 2 days, so it's nice to kind of see everybody rolling in for the week.
And then what's your plan for the rest of the summer? Are you going to stick around? You're going to go home, come back?
I'm going to go home, back to Scottsdale. probably until end of August, head back here and get ready for the season. Nice. Summer's going by quick.
It's rolling, man.
Flying by.
Yeah, it is. How often are you on the ice? Because we were talking about that, like, how Carlo was saying he just hates the idea of watching guys.
July?
You never would be on the ice until probably, when did you say, August?
Early August. Like, but training camp was always a little bit earlier. You guys are now like the 13th or 8th or 15th of September. We were like September 3rd. So I always got into back on the ice like early August, like August 3rd, right after the long weekend. You'd have a good weekend, and then you'd start sweating it out the next
We came up in the days where it was like June, July, you just spend in the gym. August came around, it'd be like once a week, twice a week. Yeah. Then you're ramping it up 3-4 times a week. Now, I mean...
Are you on the ice a lot, like all the time? Or?
I probably started skating like end of June. This is probably the first time, like the most time I've taken off the ice ever. So I think it's pretty good to kind of get away from it, right? So
yeah, you need that mental break.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a long season too. And you know, I think it also helps like when you're training, not skating, it kind of get that element of it. So I skate a couple times a week now. Just making sure everything's in check, I
skill
guess.
Stuff, yeah. Right? It's all skill stuff.
Yeah, all
right?
Skill stuff. Nothing too crazy. Yeah.
Austin Matthews joining us around the table. We're at the Marner All-Star Invitational up in Vaughan. So you rolled into town. You were speaking with the media last night, and everyone's talking about your beard and the facial hair. And because Lou's not here, I think you need to take it a step further. You need a Post Malone face tattoo.
Yeah, probably not.
What are the chances?
Absolutely not. Never.
Did Lou ever talk about tattoos? Like, we knew about, like, facial hair and stuff, but tattoos and all that kind of stuff, he didn't care about
that. I don't think he never said anything about that, so. But, yeah, obviously, the facial hair, the hair, it's...
It looks good on you, though, by the way, man.
Yeah, that's what my mom says, but I think she's lying, but...
take advantage.
Yeah, take advantage of it, for sure. It's summer, so
let's go. At least you can grow a beard. I can't.
No,
still.
I'm 35. Like, I'm not going down that road. No way. You were talking a little bit about, you know, your contract situation, and everyone is talking about where this is going to go and all that kind of stuff. You don't have to get into details, but in terms of your time here in Toronto and what you envision your career playing out like, do you see yourself as a Maple Leaf long term? Is that what you're hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I love playing here. You know, the city, the fans, it's obviously a huge honor to play, you know, in the mecca of hockey. So, you know, for myself, I definitely see myself being here for a long time.
The Tavares stuff, you've been talking a little bit about that. What do you think he brings to the lineup in terms of just explosiveness, in terms of how does he maybe affect your game, like matchups and stuff like that, and how you can kind of feed off him being in the lineup?
I mean, he obviously makes our team a whole lot better. So you get a guy like that, and then you know, you got Nas, a guy that scored 30 goals last year. So, you know, it definitely creates some matchup problems for teams. And, you know, we already had a pretty explosive offense, and you had a guy of that caliber, it just takes us to a whole nother level.
Were you involved in some of the recruiting process and talking to John prior to him signing here?
Yeah, a little bit. I talked to him on the phone once or twice, texted with him a bit. I think a lot of times, like, you don't want to like really press too hard, right? Because they're getting calls from probably a bunch of different people every day, and it's, you know, extremely overwhelming, I assume. So I didn't want to be too you know, too overbearing for him, but I obviously wanted him to know that you know, myself personally, I wanted him here, and everybody else on the team would love to have him, and you know, we're very happy with his decision.
Yeah, you feel like you don't want to attack the guy too much, but I thought it was interesting in his media that he said he had spoken at length with Steven Stamkos, and Stamkos kind of gave a glowing report of Toronto and the city of Toronto, and not away from the organization, because Stamkos grew up here, and obviously Tavares grew up here, but he said at that time the organization was at a different point before they drafted you and everything, and now where the organization's heading. And John just said he felt that it was the right time, and you could see he looked stressed like there wasn't a lot of smiles. He looked like he had not slept that well, and that's a tribute. I think it's a class move that it was a hard decision for him to move away from the island, but it also I thought it spoke a lot to how much it meant to him to come home. And you know, I'm sure that it ripples right through the dressing room. Were you guys texting from teammate to teammate saying we got him type of thing?
Yeah, I woke up and I got a text from Dubas. Actually, he said you know, they're gonna announce it in whatever an hour or so that he signed, and talking with Marner, Patty Marlowe, so we were pretty pumped up about it, just waiting for the news to hit and for it to be official.
Austin Matthews joining us around the table. In terms of events like this, I mean, we were talking to Morgan about this and how he said he actually reached out to Mitch because you guys were coming in for the wedding this weekend. But how often do you do stuff like this, like charity events? And do you picture yourself with something like this in the future, whether it's here or back home in Arizona? Or
yeah, definitely something in the future. You know, obviously when he came up with it and everything, my schedule kind of aligned pretty nicely with it just because I was already in Toronto. So I wanted to make sure you know, to stay for it, and he asked if I'd do it, and I have no problem, you know, being a good teammate. So it's been fun.
That was our conversation earlier this afternoon with Austin Matthews. We also caught up with Morgan Riley, Mitch Marner, Connor Brown. You can find everything podcasted online at tsn1050.ca or subscribe and check us out on iTunes, Overdrive, Leafs Lunch, Landsberg in the Morning, all those shows on iTunes as well. So. Shout out to everyone involved in the Mitch Marner All-Star Invitational.
Our Skip the Dishes just arrived. You saw green peppers on your pizza, and you looked at them like someone sneezed on it. Like you were repulsed by the fact there was a vegetable on your pizza.
Green peppers, green, without question, the worst pepper.
What?
It's not even close. Like red, I would say it goes red, yellow, orange.
Then green?
Green is not even on my radar.
My favorite pizza, green pepper, black olives, mushrooms.
What planet are you from? How does that work? There's no way your wife likes to eat that. There's no way your wife would agree to that, or your daughter. There's no chance. I would guess you have a solo order, and then everyone else orders whatever
My
they
daughter
want.
Would probably not. So you are now comparing yourself to a 13-year-old.
That's right.
You have the palate of a 13-year-old.
Proudly. And you know what the amazing thing is on this show with Owen Noodles when they're generally here? I'm the one with the eclectic palate. Like, Noodles will not eat anything.
No, he's...
Nothing.
No, he is... I've traveled with Jamie. Like, no, he...
Nothing. And O talks a big game, like he's cultured and, you know, eat different stuff. He doesn't eat much either. He's very basic.
Noodles is a vampire.
Probably the way to put it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Noodles.
He's a bat. He's a bat.
I just want to give a shout out to Kara Wagland, our friend Kara, who sent me a text. And she basically said, I'm the hardest working man in show business as well.
Kara did not say that.
Yeah, basically. She just said, hey, it's great listening to you on the way into work and now on the way home. So
she did not say that.
Thank you, Kara.
Where is that?
Kara, well, she sent me a text. It may be fake news. It may not be verbatim what was actually written.
Pass me your phone right now. Pass me your
phone. It's locked. I don't remember.
Unlock.
I don't remember what the code was.
Okay, Kyle. Do you remember your passcode?
No.
No.
Really? I don't know.
You don't know the passcode for your phone.
Josh Lewenberg will join us from Vegas in about an hour on what Kyle Lowry was pretending to accomplish.
I'll bet you
$10
Kara Wagland didn't say that.
Not verbatim.
She's in the newsroom right now. I'm going to find out.
No, she's on the road. She's texting on the road. I don't think she's here. I'm telling
you, man.
She's
doing Sports Center.
She ended at 5:30. She's got the best gig in the business.
What?
5 to 5:30, Kara's on. She's on the road.
I'm going to find out.
Go find out if she's around. Josie out the door from TFC just after 6.
The greatest moments in history are now up to you. This is TSN 1050's Sound Wars.
Yeah! All right, so we're doing this a little bit later in the afternoon. It is 5:47, a rare time check for yours truly. I never do the time check.
No, the only time that Bubba Watson has not hit a spectator, which is now. He just about did, but
he's spraying it all over Glenn
Abbey. I think he hit a ball in Burlington. Like, yeah. he is.
He's rattled.
Yeah, he's
not happy.
He's pulling people out of the crowd. Like, it's not good.
But Dustin Johnson's playing pretty well, and he's going to make the cut at the very least.
Well, it cuts like 4 under.
Yeah. Well, of course. They carve up Glen Abbey. All right. So this is Sound Wars, in case you were wondering. And the winner from today's Sound Wars battle between having the time of his life and the Swiss coach on Team Canada is...
It's a pleasure to be with you guys here on the field from up close, just watching Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL. And here he is, having the time of his life.
That's a pretty good clip. Sergio Dipp, our boy. Man, we interviewed him a couple of months after that. Yeah. Great interview, fun guy.
You know what? He owned it, right?
Self-deprecating guy. So that was the winner.
Okay.
It is now time for a Sweet 16 Sound Wars battle in the Yes Guy, No Guy conference. It is seed number one.
Friday pre-tapes, you're into this kind of stuff.
I'm so excited. I wish I was in my car, like, driving around.
All right, so this is a Vegas legend. I caught up with him earlier this afternoon. Mac Jameson. Mac, what's happening?
Is this Brian?
This is Brian. Did that just cut out?
This is a joke, isn't it? I'm calling you out.
I don't know who you're talking about, man.
You were my boy. We were peas and carrots 2 minutes ago, and you just wall squat great white sharded right in my yip. Mac Jameson? I want to hear the beginning again, because I guarantee if I hear the guy's voice, I'll tell you who it is.
All right.
Is this Brian?
This is Brian.
I quit the show.
Mac Jameson, the number one seed. That's going to be a tough one to beat, I think.
It's going to be tough.
Some of our best work, just goofing on the O-Dog. Going up against a number six seed in the Yes Guy, No Guy bracket.
I'm not going to lie. I'm being dead serious. My joints are starting to get sore, and I'm getting hot.
I'm really worried about you.
This is a stupid question, but don't you have to go to a vet?
No, you don't go to a vet.
But wouldn't a vet be able to tell you if you have rabies?
I think a doctor could probably do that.
Someone said.
You're doing your audience a disservice if the O-Dog doesn't show up tomorrow with a cone.
With the cone around his head.
That would be so funny,
dude. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. All right, that's a six seed, Gord. That's a tough one, man.
I like the upset there.
I think I would lean towards the vet, too, because he's a grown man who was openly asking if you should go to a vet.
A veterinarian for a medical issue.
As if doctors couldn't diagnose rabies. Mac Jameson up against should the O-Dog go to the vet. Go to TSN1050.ca, click on Sound Wars, and vote for your favorite. Mac Jameson or should I go to the vet? Voting for this Sound Wars closes Monday at 8 a.m. Listen to Landsberg in the morning for the results and for the start of a new Sweet 16 Sound Wars battle right here on TSN 1050.
You lied, man.
Why do you say that?
You lied. Because I've seen your phone.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Carol Wagland said. Okay? Smiley face. You were on the radio on my drive-in, and now for my drive home, smiley face. She said nothing about hardest working man in show. Your reply was, that's why they call me the hardest working man in show business. Kara said nothing. Nothing. She just pointed out that you were on the radio when she drove here, and you're on it now.
Yeah, she's trolling me is what she was
she's
doing.
She's trolling you, but what I'm saying is you then appropriated under her this idea that she thinks you're the hardest working man in show business. For all we know, Kara thinks...
I'm the laziest man in show
business. You're just the guy who's doing two shows today because you got nothing else to do.
Yeah, no, I know that. It was fake news. You caught me on fake news. But it doesn't matter, Gord. Now I spin the catch.
I see.
So I try to... I don't know how I can do that. That is the Trumpian move. Like, even after you get caught in a lie...
No, misdirection.
It's a misdirection.
Now what you do is threaten Iran.
Maybe that's what I'll do.
You should threaten to nuke Iran, and everyone forget about the whole Carol.
Quiet.
There you go. Exactly.
Or just say something ridiculous.
Mm. I'll tweet something out.
Yeah.
Something about kneeling during the anthem.
Yeah.
Just throw people off. Yeah, right. Kara didn't actually say that, but people are saying, because I've been doing two shows today. 11-1, which was fun. We had Noodles. Noodles came by for like 45 minutes and left. He came by.
Is his house done yet?
It's not done yet. He's getting real close to it.
Is there a life-size statue of him up front? Is that true that there's a life-size statue of Jamie out front?
I don't know if he would do that.
No.
Who at TSN would do that? Build a statue of themselves?
Oh, come on. There's only one answer.
Who?
Duthie, come on. Duthie, come on.
You think Duthie would do that?
Oh, for sure. But you know
maybe.
What? The best thing about traveling with Noodles is, like, I travel with Ray Ferraro, right? Like, Ray was the little ball of hate when he played. Like, Ray's got a temper sometimes. He's mostly under control, but when Ray loses it, it's volcanic, right? When Noodles is at his most upset, you know what he says? That really annoys me. Ooh. Oh, you're annoyed, are you?
Like, he's a wild and wacky guy.
Oh, like after traveling with Pierre Maguire for all those years, Ray Ferraro, right? Guys like that. Bobby Mack.
No, Noodles, man, you know what you're getting out of him. Like, he's such a good guy.
The angriest he gets is, I'm really annoyed.
Yeah.
That really annoys me.
Although I have witnessed
strange things annoy him.
And he'll give people a little jolt from time to time if he feels like they're in the wrong. He won't do it just
So we went
out of nowhere. But
so we went to we stayed at the Westin in Ottawa for games there. We were standing in line at this fast food place at lunchtime, and the, like a food court at the mall. And he's looking at the thing trying to decide, and someone went in front of him. He'll
go postal.
He was incensed.
Yeah, he's a man of principle.
Like that guy stepped in front of him. He was incensed.
Mm-hmm.
But he was. I was kind of going like, you were sort of looking like you weren't.
Like maybe Noodles was in the wrong. Like it was like understandable.
You kind of looked like you weren't sure what you were doing. So this guy kind of went.
Don't mess with Noodles in line. If he's on, if he's in the queue,
no,
you better watch yourself.
Now Ray Ferraro, you don't cut in front of Ray. Do not. If you see Ray Ferraro, I'm going to give you a little piece of advice, all our listeners. If you're out in public and you see Ray Ferraro, do not get in front of him in line. Do not cut in front of him.
Leave him alone, probably, in general. I would say in general.
But don't say something. Like, people just say, maybe they get nervous, they just say stupid stuff. Like, I thought you were taller, I thought you were taller, right?
I love those moves.
Hey, like, that's a great idea.
Those, you get those a lot.
Hey, like, don't be, the thing with Ray and Bob McKenzie, too, don't be overly familiar if you don't know them. Because they don't know you.
Hmm. It's not going to be a two-way street.
Some guy came up at the airport, Bobby Mack and I at the airport. This guy puts his arm around, says, "Hey, Bobby Mack, does anyone ever ask you about brother Doug?" And Bob just froze him in his, and then left. And left me standing there.
Yeah. See you later. Ninja dust.
Yeah.
So, Bobby Mack out of there.
So yeah. So Noodles, yeah. When Noodles says he's annoyed, that's like DEFCON 5. Like,
take it
mad.
To the bank.
Yeah, he's mad.
Josie Altidore will join us from TFC. Looking forward to that. And Josh Lewenberg in Vegas on DeMar and Kyle and Lowry was speaking, but he wasn't really speaking earlier this afternoon.
If you want to know what's going on with the Raptors, Josh is your guy.
Yep.
He's
on top of things, for sure, and he's down there in Vegas covering the USA camp. But
he might be the hardest working man in show business.
Well, he's in Vegas, though. That doesn't count if you're in Vegas.
What?
Does not count if you're in Vegas.
You know, because anybody would Vegas? Take... We're getting the wind-up sign
again. We'll do it. We got the quick wind-up.
Like, that was the rapid wind-up sign.
That's enough out of us. Gord Miller's in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.